You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. We'll talk to David Pagnotta, editor-in-chief of the Fourth Period, Sirius XM NHL Radio, coming up.
Editor-in-trees?
Yep. In 4 minutes. And Jesse Granger, Vegas Golden Knights writer reporter for The Athletic. People not big fans of The Athletic. Well, not The Athletic. sorry, that's such a Freudian slip.
People are not a big fan of The Athletic.
Sorry. Go to sportsnet.ca. It's
taking
free.
Over our newspapers.
It's free.
Being bought by a newspaper.
It's free. .ca. Sportsnet.ca. It's all free.
Stop the music. Start
no
over.
Subscription.
Sorry.
Start everything over.
My bad. Sorry, Julian. My bad. My B. We got our lock of the day, and we're also giving away some tickets to a massive concert announcement that we're going to do right now. Drum roll, please. Get ready for Saturday, November 2nd, 2024.
Okay.
At Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
That's a big building.
As Arkells, the Big Feelings Tour, will hit Calgary on Saturday, November 2nd. Arkells coming to Calgary Saturday, November 2nd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. The tickets go on sale Friday, April 26th at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.ca. But you can win them today on our show and for the rest of the week by texting in 960-960 and calling in later on in the program. You always have a better chance, especially when it's juicy tickets like this, to call in. We're asking you, based on our man Dennis from Airdrie calling in, texting in earlier, winning tickets, tying McDavid skates. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you stop McDavid? 960, 960, name and location. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you stop number 97? 960, 960, name and location.
The best one is going to win tickets, and the best five we're going to put on a postcard and send up north to Jim Hiller? Question mark?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell Jim Hiller.
That's Jim Hiller?
Yeah, he's their head coach.
Yeah. I knew that.
Good old Jimmy Hiller.
Nailed that.
Yep.
Smooth.
960, 960, name and location. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you stop Connor McDavid? 960, 960, name and location. With a subscription to The Athletic. I'm just kidding after what I said earlier. I'm just totally kidding. Totally kidding. 960, 960,
quality,
name and location. You know what? When you know what I've learned in this business?
What?
Never trash another media outlet because you might eventually work for them.
Yeah, probably.
I've never done that.
Yeah,
well, I was just a Freudian slip
until
of The
today.
Athletic there.
Yeah, until
but I'm pretty
today.
Confident I'm not going to be hired at The Athletic as a writer. Although I have written stuff for .ca.
My hands right.
I am a published writer.
My hands get sore writing this thing up.
Yeah,
so
but you do a great job
well,
of writing
you.
It.
Leafs fan, Toronto born.
There we go.
Does not like The Athletic, drags The Athletic.
Stop it.
Unbelievable.
I like opening up my news and reading about it yesterday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. You can get current stuff from our next guest, David Pagnotta, editor-in-chief of the Fourth Period. You hear him on Sirius XM and NHL Radio on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. Your thoughts. What were your feelings? What was going through the mind of David Pagnotta when you saw Mark Stone score that goal last night for the Golden Knights?
I laughed. I literally chuckled as if it was scripted. you couldn't really have written it any better, even if you tried. Like that was just a nice shot to everybody because this group, with everybody harping all over them for LTIR and all of this stuff and their usages and whatnot, to have Mark Stone score that first goal was pretty awesome in that light. I was told, I think I mentioned it before, on the show, like I was originally told when he was out that he was The timeline was the start of May. So
excellent. Love that.
Like, the guy's back 10 days prior-ish. So it's not out of the realm of, like, I'm not huge conspiracy theorist here that, okay, he came back because the playoffs started. He's able to do it. The doctors cleared him, all that stuff. But, you know, it is very convenient, especially 3 years in a row.
It stinks, David. It does smell. It smells bad, David. It does. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good – and look, this is going to put more managers on alert to bring this up in the next meeting to say, look, we've got to either he misses the first round, not him, but in this scenario, if a player is out and deemed to be out and the expectation is, you know, end of first round, beginning of second, if you're going to utilize all that money, then there needs to be something in place that guarantees that he's just not going to magically appear for, you know, game one, which is what this certainly optically looks like. So that'll definitely be brought up in conversations again over the summer and at the next official set of meetings in September. But it raises eyebrows. Even I was surprised that he came back for game. I figured, you know what, maybe they'll stretch this and pull this off for game two, but nope. Game one, first goal.
Well, how about the narrative, too, that not only does Mark Stone score, but the guy that they acquired with the Mark Stone cap space also scores in Tomas Hertl?
Yes, that's right. That was the other thing. He scored the third goal or fourth goal? It's a tricky and tough situation. Now, although I will say this, he wasn't on LTIR when they acquired him. He was still... Mm. He was just on regular injury reserve. So they didn't really have to dip into that, but they did. It did allow them to make all other moves. And it's not only Hertl that they were able to fit in there, but also Noah Hanifin. Mm-hmm. So you're obviously stacking up your roster and I get it. Look, from Vegas's perspective, I appreciate the boldness here that they pay up and give up assets and they move, you know, first round picks and all that stuff in order to get what they wanted. So they're not afraid to pay for it. And they then signed these guys like Hanifin did to extensions and Hertl was locked in already for the next 6 years. So I get the justification in terms of giving up in order to get, but yeah, did they find it's not that they found the loophole. They just took every advantage possible when it became available.
I have an idea for this. What if you make it so that your roster, just the playing roster, just the 18, 20 guys that are on the ice for that game, they have to be cap compliant? Because right now, pardon me?
That's also something that's been brought up with respect to the GMs and talking about potential options here.
Yeah.
To make yourselves cap compliant for playoffs. Like I don't have a problem with that one either. I've got no issue with that one. Because you can't have, you know, you can't be cap compliant come playoff time because first of all, 15 teams used LTIR space this season during the regular season. So going into postseason play and into the playoffs, most of those clubs, not all, but a good chunk of them are technically over the salary cap. If you restart the numbers. So, one of the options is exactly what you just suggested. Game by puck drop, that team, that icing their roster, that roster needs to be cap compliant. I don't have any problem with that. I like that.
Just an idea. Just throwing out a couple ideas. The NHL's free to take them whenever they like. Hey, Toronto ties the series. What did you make of Auston Matthews? Was that the best game that Auston Matthews has played, or perhaps the most important showing we've seen from Auston Matthews?
He had to step up. And Toronto's big guys in general, they need to be able to step up in certain, you know, times throughout the postseason. There was no way Toronto could have gone back home for game three on Wednesday down 2-0 and expect to win that series, expect to pull off four of the next five against these Boston Bruins. So he absolutely stepped up and needed to. I mean, look, he hit what was it, a post, a crossbar in game one as well. Things, you know, the bounces didn't necessarily go Toronto's way by any stretch in game one. And it almost looked like the Boston Bruins were waiting for Toronto to fall back into their trap and to make mistakes and take advantage of those mistakes. They weren't as aggressive consistently as they were in game one, which helped certainly Toronto's ability to create offensive opportunities and chances. Their Toronto's D was a little bit better overall compared to game one. So everything that needed to happen for the Leafs kind of did. And Auston Matthews took advantage of that. And, you know, you go back to Toronto 1-1 for Wednesday, Saturday home games. Maybe this tilts a little bit more in your favor, although the Bruins, I'm expecting them to turn it back up a notch come game three.
David Pagnotta, editor-in-chief of the Fourth Period. You hear him on SiriusXM NHL Radio, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. This Canucks Predators series, that was an electric game one. Vancouver scoring those quick back-to-back goals, pull off game one. Do you think Nashville can get this done? What are you expecting out of game two tonight? Because that game one was super tight.
It was. It really was. Minus that 20-second span, turnover goal. I mean, I think from Vancouver's positioning, and even if you look at how the Predators have played and how well they've played and how great Saros and Josi have been, and that top line has been tremendous. But if you stabilize that top line, there's not much else in the tank in terms of overall offensive depth. And if Vancouver can contain it as much as they can throughout the rest of this series, they've got a great opportunity and a pathway to round two. And that's clearly within their mindsets of trying their best to eliminate opportunities and chances and smother the crap out of that top line with Nyquist, Forsberg, and O'Reilly. If they can do that consistently, they're going to have a great chance at moving on. And it would be, from their side of things, it'd be certainly better if the offense spreads out a little bit more from Vancouver's side of things too, because Nashville did a really good job overall in containing it, minus that little blip. But if you're Vancouver, you're holding yourself high going into game two, and that building is without question going to be electric.
Who has less of a chance to win their series, the Islanders or the Capitals?
Capitals, I think. I mean, look, I'm not expecting the Islanders to win now, but the way that they played now, I'm going to preface this by saying shoot the freaking puck, please, because five shots in the last two periods, no bueno. That's not – you can't pull that off in playoff hockey. You can't sit back and just – this isn't the World Cup. At FIFA, like you're not getting a goal and then you're going to sit back and try to play defense for the rest of the 80 minutes that are going on the pitch. Like, you've got to be able to continuously in the NHL, especially playoff time, you've got to still pressure the crap out of the other team. And that's not really what they did by any stretch. And the Hurricanes took advantage of that. Like, the Islanders had an opportunity to close out that game. They had an opportunity to step up, and it wouldn't have shocked me if they ended up taking game one. The way that they've played has been, to me, it gives them a better opportunity to win more games than I think the Capitals have against the Rangers. That said, I still think the Hurricanes are pulling this one off. I believe I had them in six. I don't know if it's going to get to that point, but now the tide shifts. You go to UBS Arena on the island, and that is also going to be one hell of a crazy crowd. So, certainly you can't discount how much the home crowd plays a factor in some of these series.
How much does Patrick Waugh have to think about changing his goalie up here?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me now to see Sorokin get into game three at home. I don't think goaltending was the ultimate falter in that one. Again, you're not creating offense, you're not creating chances. Like, Carolina had 39 shots on net, and then they took another 36 that the Islanders blocked, plus there were, I think, 30 some odd other attempts, or 20 almost 30 additional shooting attempts. Like, they were just all out blitz attack on the Islanders. And I don't falter, you know, I don't throw this fully on Varlamov at all. But you've got to switch the momentum up a little bit. And sometimes it's a tweak like that. When you've got two goaltenders that are capable of holding the fort, you know, it's not that big of a risk to go back to the younger guy. And I wouldn't be shocked to see Sorokin in net.
Yesterday, we found out Lindy Ruff is going to be new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, but returning head coach of the Buffalo Sabres after 14 seasons there left in 2011. What did you learn about this hire? What can we expect from this hire in Buffalo?
Well, he was certainly at the top of Kevin Adams' list, their GM, when they decided that they were going to make a coaching change towards the end of the season. You know, they waited till the day after the end of regulation to you know, officially let Don Granato go. But he was right up there. He's somebody that you know, Adams is familiar with. And they wanted to bring in a veteran presence in that group. They wanted to bring in somebody that, you know, Cert A has a ton of experience. Well, Lindy checks a lot of all of that. And they wanted somebody that can, even though it is a veteran presence, also resonate a little bit with some of the younger guys, which is what he was trying to do and what he improved upon when he was coaching the New Jersey Devils with some of their young guys there. You know, people are talking about accountability and holding. And I mean, the Sabres players even said at exits that they wanted, you know, if they're going to bring in somebody else, they want somebody that's going to be there, that's going to hold them accountable and that can help guide them in the right direction. You talk to Devils fans and they'll chirp about accountability and not, you know, holding certain guys, you know, to a certain standard, especially the younger guys. But you talk to people around the league and they believe that Lindy will be able to at least, you know, pull off that right direction for Buffalo. Do I think he was the top candidate among the available coaches? I don't. I think there were some other guys that should have been given a little bit more consideration, and maybe they had explored other options like a Craig Berube, for example. But, you know, maybe either they weren't interested or the contract demands might have been too high or what have you. But, again, Buffalo wanted to get this done as quickly as possible. They check off the first box of their offseason plan and getting a new head coach. And now Kevin Adams can now focus on some roster changes this summer. They want to add up front. They want to add a scorer, and they want to solidify and stabilize that bottom six. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to get a center for the third line and another offensive guy for their top six.
Does Joel Quenneville get a job this summer?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think still now is the time to give him that opportunity to come back. I don't know if some teams that either have made a coaching change or are in the playoffs right now, potentially considering one. I don't know if they want to take that PR hit that they would likely get from bringing Q back into the fold. I think it's still premature for him to return. It's, I guess, certainly possible. But in my opinion, I still believe that it's probably still too soon. And whether he gets a legitimate shot or not ever again, honestly, I'm not sure.
David Pagnotta, editor-in-chief of The Fourth Period. You hear him on SiriusXM NHL Radio. David, always a pleasure. Thanks for this, pal.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Straight ahead, Jesse Granger covers the Golden Knights, writer-reporter for The Athletic. We'll ask him. I'm sure he's seen the vitriol spit away the Golden Knights with this whole Mark Stone situation. We'll talk to Jesse about that. Matt Marchese saying, hey, he thinks the winner of that series could potentially represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Final, which I thought was very interesting.
As far as like some of the lopsided series that we're seeing early on,
maybe.
I don't disagree with that. Like, if I was to look at the bracket right now, I don't have any belief in L.A. I have little belief in Nashville. Winnipeg, Colorado is another interesting one there. Tampa and Florida is an intriguing one. Nothing in the Metro. Maybe Boston, Toronto, you could convince me. But as far as like first round series where there's two legit contenders, I think we've got maybe four series, three for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one that circle all of those games on the calendar.
We'll talk to Jesse next. And we're also giving away tickets. We announced it at the top of the hour. Arkells coming to Scotiabank Saddle Dome for the Big Feelings Tour, Saturday, November 2nd. You can win them before you can buy them right here on our show. We're asking you a 960-960 name and location. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you? 960-960 name and location. We'll also mix in some phone calls. Keep those rolling in. It's the Big Show. And we'll do our lock of the day. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Yeah, it is the Big Show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. Bottom of the hour, our lock of the day, courtesy of Metal Supermarkets Calgary. And we have tickets to give away for the Arkells or Arkells.
Just Arkells.
I know. Well, I win.
I know.
It's hard not to say no sometimes.
Well, especially
the Arkells at one point.
Well, it's just sentence structure.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's just like proper grammar.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it makes sense.
I know that they're not the Arkells. Yeah, they're just Arkells. Yeah. But in order to address them as band.
The Arkells.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to address them as band, as the band.
Yeah. We have tickets to Arkells, the Big Feelings Tour, Saturday, November 2nd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We're asking you a 960-960 name and location. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you? 960-960 name and location on the text line. We'll also mix in some phone calls.
Very well done. Yeah, this is good.
Nothing stops the Golden Knights from circumventing the salary cap. Our next guest.
Man, there it is. Yep.
Jesse Granger, Vegas Golden Knights writer, reporter for The Athletic, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Jesse, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Obviously, I'm sure you saw a lot of the vitriol on social media last night with the Mark Stone reaction. How being around the team, what are the vibes around the team with Mark Stone coming back? Obviously, his injury is super serious, but Jesse, just the optics of all of it kind of stinks. And you can kind of understand, I'm assuming, what everyone was feeling last night?
Yeah, I've seen the vitriol a lot longer than just last night. I think since the moment he stepped on the ice for practice a couple weeks ago, yeah. My Twitter feed has been a mess. But I do understand. I understand why fans are upset. The timing of it is incredibly fortunate for the Golden Knights. In terms of the vibes around the team, that's a good question because it's very interesting to me. So. Right before the playoffs started, Kelly McCrimmon gave his usual pre-playoff media availability. And he is very aware of the reputation that he and the Golden Knights have for skirting around the salary cap, for finding ways to use the LTIR in creative ways. And he went out of his way to dispel some of that. This is a team that doesn't give injury details at all. That's most hockey teams, but I think the Golden Knights are more secretive even than most. And he gave incredible detail saying it was a grade 3 laceration and going into the details of how he spoke to the doctors and all this stuff. So it's clear that Kelly and the Golden Knights front office realizes this perception, and it's clear that they're not happy with it and that they're doing their best to dispel it. But then you talk to the players, and the players could not care less. I don't think it's in their minds. We spoke to Jonathan Marchessault after the game last night, and we asked him about Mark Stone getting booed every time he touched the puck, and he's like, "Oh, I love it. There's no guy I'd be happier for than Mark Stone." And the players just see Mark Stone, their teammate. I do feel bad for Mark Stone in all of this because whether he's involved or what is happening and how when exactly he was healthy. We can argue that for days. What we can't argue is Mark Stone is a good dude who loves hockey, and his teammates see that. And a guy that loves to play hockey more than any hockey player I've ever spoken to hasn't been able to play hockey very much for the last 3 years because he's constantly having these major, major injuries. So his teammates are happy to see him back on the ice. They're happy to have him back. The vibes are very good on the team, the players. The front office obviously isn't happy with the perception out there, but what are you going to do?
Tell us about Noah Hanifin's first playoff game with the Vegas Golden Knights.
He was very good. He's been a good fit since coming over at the trade deadline. He fills that left side top pair role incredibly well for this team. He moves the puck so quickly. He's helped their breakouts a ton. And probably the area we've seen the most improvement on the Golden Knights since Hanifin joined is on the power play. This team has really struggled on the power play for pretty much 7 years, pretty much as long as they've been a team. They've struggled on the power play, and they've been much, much better as of late with Hanifin taking over as the quarterback for the power play one unit. Last night, he obviously had the shot that Mark Stone tipped in for the first goal of the game. And then I'm not sure if they ended up giving him an assist on the Hurdle goal. I thought he should have got one. He threw the puck to the net on that one also, and Hurdle tipped it on net and then got his own rebound and scored. So it's not like Hanifin is dancing around and making these like spectacular looking plays. He just makes the simple play. He makes it quick. He makes a good decision. And so far, it's really been helping the Knights.
How does this blue line look to be deployed for the rest of the season? Because obviously Theodore and Pietrangelo have been there for a little while. They've got the key veterans like McNabb, and Whitecloud's been through the ringer before. How do you see it kind of being deployed with their blue line through the course of the postseason?
Yeah, right now they've got their two top dogs, Hanifin and Pietrangelo, both on the top pair. And I think that if things were to go wrong for the Golden Knights, I could see them splitting them up and making it so that you've got Pietrangelo on one pair, Theodore on another, and Hanifin on another, so that you've got one of those three on the ice at all times. I could see them going down that route if things were to stop working for them. As long as things are working like they were last night, I thought they defended really well. I think they'll stick with it as it is, which is with Hanifin and Pietrangelo on that top pair eating a ton of the minutes. I think they both played 24, 23 minutes, something like that last night. That's high for this team that likes to play its bottom pair more than most. And then you've got Theodore and McNabb on that second pair. They're a trusty pair. They've played together basically for 7 years. And then you've got the two younger players, Hague and Whitecloud, which is a very solid bottom pair that they're not really afraid to put out there against anybody. Hague did get banged up towards the end of that game. He went down the tunnel and didn't play the last 8 minutes. So we're going to ask Bruce Cassidy here at the team hotel in a couple hours about Hague. But if he can't play, this team's super deep. So they've got Alec Martinez, who played all of the playoff games last year and obviously has three Stanley Cups. And they've got Ben Hutton, who's played really well for them this year. So plenty of depth on the blue line if they need to use it, if Hague can't go. Yeah, this team's deep. And in terms of how they deploy him, Bruce Cassidy doesn't like to match up a lot. He likes to just roll the lines and go with it. And he trusts these guys. He's got good enough defensemen to be able to do that. So that's pretty much how I see it.
How do you kind of compare and contrast like Theodore and Hanifin? Because honestly, like even before the trade, and Vegas obviously makes sense. They get good players and Hanifin's a good player. But it felt like there's a lot of similarities between those two. Can you maybe compare and contrast what you've seen between Theodore and Hanifin and how they complement each other?
Yeah, there are some similarities. I think especially in their own zone, in the defensive zone, what Theodore and Hanifin both do exceptionally well is move their feet when they go back and get a puck. They can skate it out themselves. And when the Golden Knights have had issues this year, it's when they struggle on that first touch of the puck after a dump in. And the forwards aren't reloading enough. They don't have options, whatever it is. Well, Hanifin and Theodore make that so easy because even if there aren't any options, they'll just get on their horse and skate it out themselves. And it just takes so much pressure off of the team trying to break it out. So I think they're similar in that way. In the offensive zone, Theodore is a lot flashier. He's got better hands. He'll try to dangle a guy at the blue line and take it into the slot. Theodore has maybe a little bit more like high-end offensive skill, whereas Hanifin's game is more north-south. It's a little simpler. The other thing is Theodore, this hasn't been his best season. I would not say he's in good form right now. He isn't playing terribly, but he certainly isn't at his peak and hasn't been all season, whereas Hanifin, I think, is playing very well since coming over to Vegas. So right now, Hanifin has been the better player. He's in better form, but Theodore is one of those guys that can turn it on any night, so we'll see.
Is there a chance Jonathan Marchessault could be playing his last playoff as a Golden Knight?
there is a chance. You look at the salary cap situation going into next summer, and
that doesn't stop them,
USA.
Jesse. It doesn't. Don't worry about it.
You're right.
Those are just semantics.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Theodore, because I think if the Golden Knights, they obviously locked up Noah Hanifin for 8 years, they traded for Tomáš Hertl and that big contract for the next 6 years. If they were to want to sign Jonathan Marchessault, they'd probably have to trade someone similar to last year. They trade for Ivan Barbashev, and then they signed him, and in order to make room for Barbashev, they had to trade Riley Smith to Pittsburgh. I could see Vegas, if they are going to sign Marshall, so they're probably gonna have to trade somebody. Maybe Theodore could be a candidate for that. I mean, he's a great player, he's a big part of this team. They definitely don't want to lose Theodore, but Hanifin plays a similar role, like you said. He's around the same age, he's locked up long term. So at the end, it looks like there isn't enough money to go around for Jonathan Marshall, so but he's such an important piece to this team. I mean, he's obviously the goals, but he is the heart and soul of this team. He's been here for so long. He's one of the most popular guys in the room. They're going to want to keep him, but I just don't see the money.
What's going to happen between the pipes? I know Logan Thompson gets the win, but there's a little shaky one there near the end.
There was. And Bruce Cassidy was actually happy with how he bounced back from that, because those last 5 minutes, Dallas was really pushing and he played well. And that was kind of, we had been talking to Cassidy going into these playoffs. And one of the things he really stressed was, this is Logan Thompson's first playoffs. It's his first playoff game last night. Don't let one goal become two. Logan Thompson's best attribute as a goalie to me is his competitiveness. The dude never gives on a puck. He is a fighter in there. And because he's so competitive, he has a tendency to maybe get down on himself a little more than he needs to after giving up a goal. He lets it kind of snowball. Last night, I thought he did a really good job of shaking off what was a really bad goal again. So let's just call it what it is. That was awful. It was a floater from the blue line that he just missed with his glove. But he shook it off, and he played really well down the last couple minutes there with a lot of pressure. So yes, I think there is a chance we see Aiden Hill eventually in this series. I do think that in the end, Bruce Cassidy trusts Hill a little bit more, which is understandable. He won a Stanley Cup for him last year. But Logan Thompson's been in much better form, and Aiden Hill was really struggling down the stretch. The last game of the season against Anaheim, that Vegas lost, he gave up a couple soft ones as well. So if Hill were in better form, I think Cassidy would be looking to go to him. Hill hasn't been in great form, so I think they're going to ride Thompson as long as they can, knowing that they've got someone that they trust that they can go to if they absolutely have to.
Jesse Granger, Vegas Golden Knights writer and reporter for The Athletic. Jesse, should be a really fun series. Thanks for this.
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We still got lots to do. We got our lock of the day, courtesy of Metal Supermarkets Calgary. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're giving away tickets to Arkells. Saturday, November 2nd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. The Big Feelings Tour. Tickets go on sale at Ticketmaster.ca on Friday, 10 a.m. local time. 10 a.m. Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday.
But you can get your tickets already.
You can win them now with us.
With
960,
us.
960.
And you don't need
location. You pay zero.
It's a good point, Pat.
The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you? 960, 960, name and location. And if you call in, you always got a better chance. 403-240-4444. Call in now. 403-240-4444 to win tickets to Arkells. Saturday, November 2nd.
Little
2024
leather jacket,
Saddle Dome.
Little I was gonna say last night, but that's definitely the Strokes.
Keep them rolling in. Patrick's been giggling a lot reading your text messages.
You can get it knocking at the door.
He likes a few of them.
Yeah, there's some good ones
at 960-960 name and location. Of course, Texty McTexerson is our Sportsnet 960 The Fan text reading robot. And he joins. Who's going to be picking the winner for these today? Maddie, do you want to be bestowed with the honor?
I have pen.
Okay, you have a pen.
I have paper.
All right.
Let's do it.
Fire him up.
All right, let's go.
JP in Calgary, I'd bring back Scott Stevens.
Okay.
Simple.
But you also need to bring back Scott Niedermeyer to bait.
Yeah.
To bait McDavid into Stevens, because that's the whole underrated thing that nobody talks about. Niedermeyer was the one who was pushing them into Stevens, and then he would just destroy people.
Yeah, the thing is, like, there's still a couple of guys around the league that can hit like this, and they've never caught 97.
No, because he's way too fast. Not...
I will say this with the text. A lot of people are saying that Tonya Harding was the one that clubbed Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, it was
in
clearly
the knee.
Jeff
it was her
Gallucci.
Boyfriend, Jeff Galuli.
Sorry, Galuli. I went to high school with a Jeff Galuli. Jeff Galuli.
Poor Galuli catching
yeah.
a stray
there. To him there, sorry. Jeff Galuli. Galuli.
You got to watch I, Tonya, guys.
Yeah, you know what? I did watch I, Tonya.
It's a very good movie.
And they try to make Margot Robbie not crazy hot. Even under
it.
All that makeup, she was still crazy
you
hot.
Can't do it.
It was hard.
It's a fool's errand, frankly.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, keep them rolling.
Imagine telling the makeup artist, yeah. like, hey,
rough her up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Rough her up a bit. Yeah, but that's
maybe
what
not
did.
Like that.
Just like the worst movie ever made, Moonfall, on Amazon Prime.
Can you just
like,
take a little bit of the shine off
yeah,
her?
You know what? This, what this is doing? The premise of the movie. Let's make Halle Berry not sexy in this movie, even though she still was, but still. Let's do that. All right, keep them rolling.
Gavin in Red Deer. The only way to stop McDavid is to recreate the movie Celtic Pride.
Celtic Pride.
Oh,
movie.
Celtic Pride.
The old Dan Aykroyd
yeah.
movie.
The
guy from Home Alone.
When they and who is it? Damon Wayans?
Yeah,
was,
Damon Wayans.
When they
the,
kidnapped him?
He's a Utah Jazz player.
Yeah. I remember that movie. It was a bad movie.
So the idea there
it was a Judd Apatow.
Him?
Was it?
It was a Judd Apatow movie.
Oh, Celtic Pride.
Early on.
Yeah, early. 96.
403-240-4444, 403-240-4444. And, of course, I've watched Celtic Pride because I'm such a sucker for sports movies. Just like,
sports
even bad
comedies.
Sports movies. Like, oh, I'm in!
God.
I'm in, 100%.
Do they throw at least one pitch in the film?
I'm
yeah.
in! Yeah,
I'm
in. Like, I'm in.
Scott in Calgary. I would put a walrus in the net. I have already seen it work on TV. There's no chance he would sneak it past our huge goaltender. G-U-H. It's a walrus. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. The Geico walrus commercial. Yeah. I know exactly what he's talking
exactly.
about.
Get out of here. It's a walrus. Come yeah. on.
It's a good save.
Andre in Calgary. A 2x4.
Okay. It's
simple.
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 Okay. Like in front of the net?
Like he owes you money, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right in the knees.
Let's get to the old phone line. Let's get
nice
to the
job,
old,
guys.
Let's
Real
get
good.
To the old blower.
Real good.
Greg. Let's get to Greg here. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What are you up to this morning, Greg?
Oh, I just dropped kids off at school.
Did you wait? Did you disrupt any lineups, or was it a nice, smooth drop-off?
Did you
morning?
Even bother stopping the car, or was it more of a tuck-and-roll situation?
No, I stopped the car.
Oh, okay.
But it's quite busy.
All right. How much?
Dealer's
they,
choice, I guess.
How old are your kids?
12 and 15.
How much do they detest listening to our show in the morning?
A lot. They mm-hmm. always want their hits one on Sirius XM.
Okay. Well, sorry, Greg's kids. Suck on that. Dad's
listen,
got the radio.
Sorry,
when you're,
we don't have
when
kids,
you're an
Bob.
Adult, yeah, when you're an adult, you can listen to your own damn music. How
that's
about
right.
That?
Am I right, Greg?
Exactly. It's my truck.
Yeah.
Damn
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Damn right, Greg.
Let him know, Greg.
Hey, Greg. The Kings couldn't stop McDavid last night. How would you?
I would spray paint his visor black and put A535 in his jockstrap.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Hang on the line. I like that. Okay. Spray paint his visor black.
Black. Right.
The rub A535. That's yeah. That's a tipping point.
That's yep. it. That's an old one, isn't it?
Right on the old marbles.
Yep. Thanks, dude. Yeah, good.
Yep.
I was confused as to where, so yeah. thanks for the...
I just like to paint a picture yeah. with words sometimes.
You want
yeah,
to text?
You really do.
That's what I do. Yeah, because GVP is frantically answering the phone now, so yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
My plan to stop McDavid is for the second round. I plan to seduce him and get him drunk and leave him tied to the headboard. He'll either miss the game or be hung over. Perfect. Your favorite Canucks fan, Sarah in YYC.
Okay, Sarah.
Whoa, Sarah.
My I mean, goodness. Hell,
I don't know if
maybe
have,
in the second round.
That feels
Sarah,
like,
I don't know if we have a Canucks fan
Sarah,
or a favorite Canucks fan. But.
That feels like a crime.
Well, I mean, if that yeah. if there's one favorite Canucks fan, it's Sarah.
A couple yeah. of these have felt like crimes, actually.
Wasn't there like
a lot
a
of
post
these
where like, he posted and said, like, I'm horny or something, and that was on the internet years
well,
ago?
Well, yeah, yeah. I think he was like 16 when he did it. Yeah, it's like, yeah. yeah
oh,
it
I love
like,
when they go after the kids' tweets. Like, look what he said when he was freaking 15
yeah.
years old.
Look at this. Look at what he threw into this cesspool that has turned into Twitter.
Yeah, no
oh,
kidding.
Yeah, it's so doing so great now. Yeah.
Want to get back to the phone line?
Yeah, let's go to the phone.
It was a good start with Greg. Let's get to Jay. Let's get to Jay. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
What are you up to, Jay?
Just on my way to work.
All right. Jay, how would you stop Connor McDavid?
I would force the Oilers and McDavid to play an arena designed by his girlfriend or fiance, so they got no room to shoot, like his basketball net in his basement.
Okay. All right, hang on the line. All right.
Yeah, his house is also catching some strays as well.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Yeah. Ryan in Hussar. I would stop McDavid by installing human-sized sticky mouse traps all over his serial killer-styled home and catch him before he gets to the arena.
Okay.
It's gotten worse than I thought.
That's fine. We're inviting this.
I did. Darn. Shoot. 403-240-4444.
That was Ryan.
403-240-4444. 403-240-4444. We had a J. We have J number two
human size
on the phone line, dude. J number two, good morning. How are you?
Good, boys. How are you?
What are you up to, my man?
Moving dirt.
Hell yeah. Okay, all right. Real work.
Like, you just pick it up, right. Putting it in a place that's, like, close, or do you have to, like, put it in a truck and then take it somewhere else?
Put it in a truck.
Oh, you got a machine that's doing it for you.
Are you moving dirt away from downtown Calgary and for the new arena, or no?
No. Okay. In Calgary, though. Yeah.
You haven't done that yet.
Okay, I'm getting excited for that. All right, Jay, how would you stop Connor McDavid?
There's only one way, and that's strap on the foil.
Okay. All right, Jay, hang on the line.
Strap
on the foil. And feed him some knuckle sandwiches, am I right? I like that one from Jay number two.
Pretty simple, bud.
I'll give you so many rights, you'd be begging for a left. Am I right?
Strap on the foil.
I'll hit you so hard your house will fall down. Maybe his crazy serial killer house. As our man Ryan has
He punches walls, man. That last guy, he punches walls. That's how he warms up.
Okay.
Like in The Goon.
Okay, keep going.
Wayne in Woodbine. I would slow down Connor McDavid the same way Joe slowed him down at the end of 2018-19 season by tripping him into the end boards speed and watching his knee rip apart.
Okay, all right. Whoa. Okay, that was great.
Guys, I didn't know you guys hated watching him this bad.
Okay, but again, like, you know, this isn't a pro McDavid radio station.
No,
we're definitely not.
It's not Sportsnet 97.
No, it's not. That's Crickets, please.
Damn it. What the hell was that?
Crickets, please.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Listen, I appreciate the effort. Listen, sometimes they can't all be homers. Like, I swing and miss a lot, Patrick.
That was one of those balls at Rogers Center that everybody thinks is going out.
He was late on it. Late on the fastball, as Buck would say. He was late on the fastball.
You cannot make that throw. No. Poor Justin Turner.
All right, let's get to Steve on the old phone line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Steve, how would you stop Connor McDavid?
I'd give Bryce $20 to go all office space on his ankle.
Okay, hang on the line. All right, Bryce still catching strays.
Yeah, our resident vagrant.
We do have a Bryce text.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay, yeah.
Cody and Drumheller. Okay. I myself couldn't stop him, but I'm sure if we slapped a name tag that said Bryce on him, the listeners of 960 would make sure he doesn't do anything again.
Okay.
Oh, with pitchforks.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, they'd come and get him.
Poor Bryce. You think they don't like him now? Wait until they find out what he's been selling behind the schools.
That's it. 403-240-4444. 403-240-4444.
I hope Bryce enjoyed that 44. Game we sent him to, or else this would really be all
He's going to Nickelback.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, during the stampede.
He's our Nickelback guy.
Yeah,
Wedley texting and morning show definitely going on Edmonton Reddit after today. We're already on there, so don't worry about
it. We're right there again.
Not that I even remotely care about that, which is
Jordan in Ranchlands. Bring in Lisa Simpson as a ringer to hack the bone.
Hack
the bone!
That's a good episode.
Eat Lisa on ice. Very good.
Lisa gets to ride in the front seat because she's good at sports.
Kill Bart.
How many more you got?
I got four.
Okay.
Kevin from Calgary. I'd stop McDavid like Bobby Clark stopped Valerie Kharlamov in 72. A two-handed swing for the fences with a wooden Victoriaville to the ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Get up, ball.
That is a good reference. When the Flyers and the Central Red Army play in the 70s. They've gone up. They've gone home, as Bob Cole said. Yeah. They didn't want to play him anymore because the Flyers were just punching him and slashing him. They're like, Snocky?
Committing fraud or crimes.
Assault on the ice.
Maybe fraud.
All right, let's get to
maybe a little fraud.
Let's get to a very unpopular name on this show. Matt. Matt, good morning. How are you?
What the hell was that?
Matt, good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys?
Good. What are you up to, Matt?
Just driving to work.
Okay. We appreciate you for listening, Matt. Matt, how would you stop Connor McDavid? Oh, thank you. How would you stop Connor McDavid?
I would slice his Achilles tendon.
Okay, that'll do it. Okay,
let's come back around.
Okay,
okay, all right. We can probably hang on the line. All right.
I don't know if we have to hang on the line with that one.
No, that's a little okay.
it's just
the Evander Kane girlfriend one's pretty good. We're not gonna play that one.
Careful.
Okay, so what do we like? How many good texts do you have left?
I got three.
Okay, go ahead.
Mike in the Dale. Let Sheldon Keefe run the lineup. Sitting out your best player making 10 sheets with no explanation should at least slow down McMuffin.
Okay.
Mike That's in Calgary. One. I would put unflavored laxatives in his water bottles.
That'll do it.
Unflavored.
Unflavored.
It's still chalky, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ryan in Renfrew. I'd stop McDavid by slithering the cobra up the QE2 and inject venom into his stupid garbage veins. Then I'd point and laugh at him like Nelson from The Simpsons while Roger's place is so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
I love this. Okay. I love this.
I'd stop McDavid by slithering the cobra up the QE2 and...
Yeah, like
slithering
a cobra.
The cobra up the QE2.
A cobra. Okay. Or the cobra.
The cobra.
His dumb veins?
His garbage veins.
His garbage veins. Okay. So on the phone line, I do like J2. He was very, put the foil on. That's it.
That's easy.
I like that one. So do you like J2 on the phone line?
Let's see. I like the one where he had to force him to play in a tight space about his house. That was good. I like the one about human-sized mouse traps from Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Strap on the file was good. I don't love the knee split apart. Shout out Bryce text. Those are good. I didn't even write what Wedley sent in. Hack
didn't
the
play
bone.
It.
No. Bobby Clark. Nope. Laxatives. Nope. I'm gonna either go with Andre. I believe it was a text.
Yep.
The
Ryan,
2x4.
A text, and then Jay.
J2 with the foil?
Who called on, strap on the foil.
Okay.
Where does that saying come from?
Oh, it's from...
foil.
It's from Slapshot.
Yeah.
With the Hanson brothers.
But do they strap it on?
Yeah.
Wrap
what are you guys doing? Strap it on the foil.
Chaos.
Do you want to get to J... Let me ask... Okay. Can we put J2 on the line there, GVP, please?
This is a big, big moment here.
Hey, Jay.
Yo.
If you were to win the tickets, and that's a big if... Who are you taking to said concert?
I'll take my best buddy.
What's your best? Is your best buddy's name Bryce?
No, close. So it's Daryl.
Daryl? Okay, hang on the line.
We call him D.
Okay, D. All right, hang on the line. Okay, he didn't say kid, which is big plus.
I think I got to go with Jay.
Okay, put Jay back on the line. Hey, Jay.
Yep.
What are you doing Saturday, November 2nd?
I'm going to go have some beers and go watch a damn show.
Damn right you are, Jay. Congratulations. Yeah, you're going to see Arkell's The Big Feelings Tour Saturday, November 2nd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. You can buy your tickets. Jay isn't because he just won them. This Friday morning, 10 a.m., courtesy of Ticketmaster.ca. Jay, my man, hang on the line. We'll get your deets, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
No problem. Hell there he is. Congratulations to Jay. We got tickets all week.
All
the rest
week,
of the
baby.
Week, the rest of the week to see Arkells
Andre,
Saturday, November 2nd.
Ryan, I really liked your guys' text.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. You just got real legit shots at this thing.
Call in.
Yeah. You always have a better chance when you call
if
in.
If you had called in with either of those, you probably would have won.
Yeah, you would have.
2x4.
Human-sized mousetraps.
I like that.
That's
in
funny.
A serial killer house. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right. We got one thing left to do, and that's our lock of the day. Mm. Let's fire it up. And our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. What did we do yesterday?
Well, your Inter hit over Milan. They won the Scudetto, and there was a little fight in there at the end. Mm-hmm. 3 red cards. My Hurricanes, holy crap. Way to cover that 1.5 with the Fury at the end. Matty, you did not hit with Kikuchi. He had, I believe, 6 strikeouts and allowed 5
hits. He only had 4 strikeouts.
4 strikeouts, sorry. Hurricanes and Islanders, they were did not go the under 5.5. And Kron, Stars, and Golden Knights, that was 5.5 in the first period, I believe.
It was 3-2, but 3-2. It didn't look good. Yeah. It didn't look good for Kron.
It was over early.
It was over early.
You know what? He's still owe me a poem.
Yeah.
Me being the champion that I was last month because of my excellent soccer picks, I'm going to deviate from that because I'm stupid. And I'm going to go hockey tonight.
Can't argue with that.
I'm doing this. Predators money line tonight.
Oh. All right.
They take game 2 in Vancouver tonight. Lock it in.
All righty. I'm building a little parlay here for the Jays game tonight. A couple of things I do like. Dalton Varsho over a hit. Dalton Varsho over a half a base. Or pardon me, that's wrong. Dalton Varsho over a hit and Kevin Gausman under 2.5 earned runs.
Oh, okay. Patrick?
We go to baseball as well, like the Cleveland Guardians to beat the Boston Red Sox by 1.5.
Who's pitching for the Guardians today?
That's a good question. I don't know. Okay, up against Jose Ramirez, and then pairing that with Jose Ramirez over 2.5 combined hits, runs, and RBIs.
Wow, what a fun line.
That is a tough one.
Tanner Houck pitching
that's
for
the
Red Sox.
Lively's
pitching for the. Okay. Ben Lively.
You'll say their old name for a sec.
Tanner Houck. It's a great baseball name. GVP, where are we going?
Going to do some basketball here. Clippers and Mavericks game 2 here. Mavericks need to get back in this series. They're down 1. I'm going to take Luka Doncic to have a big game. I think he's got the triple-double tonight.
Ooh.
How about that line from Jokic yesterday?
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
I don't want to talk about that game.
He's unstoppable. Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. I'm glad you jogged my memory because I wanted to talk about this yesterday. I didn't get to it. You know, Canada's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the first guard to have over 30 points, averaging 30 points a game and shooting over 50% from the field. You know who the last guy who did that was?
Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah. There's 2 guys on that list. And 1 is Michael Jordan. Pretty damn good company for SGA.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough MVP vote. I think I'm leaning Jokic.
He's the best player in the world.
Just because SGA got a little banged up at the end.
What do you got coming up on Mucho Big Show?
9:30. We're going to go out to Vancouver and talk with Jamie Dodd, co-host of Canucks Talk. Kind of get a lay of the land out in Vancouver. They were pretty rowdy after game 1 win.
Is Kevin James going to be there for game 2?
I have no idea.
Okay.
He better be.
And Chad Kroger was like, man. I mean, and you'd think Chad would be at the Oilers game last night.
I'm pretty sure they're
on tour.
What? Nickelback? Hmm. I think they ramp it up here in the summertime.
Yep, they're coming here. We gave away tickets. Where Bryce is going. Bryce will be out that show.
Yeah, head on a swivel if you're headed.
Damn right.
Watch for Bryce.
He'll probably have a shiv. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. I'm just kidding.
They'll be able to buy stuff from him in the lockers.
Yeah, right. That's true. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. Is this baking soda? Rate, review, subscribe.
Hell no.
Yeah. Rate, review, subscribe. Apple, Amazon, podcasts. No. I don't know.
What are you doing? Throw it a break.
All right.
It's all good.
Mucho Big Show next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.